If you want to know what things were like at a certain point in history, ask the people who were there. Oral histories are a priceless way for us to peer into the past and learn. That's the idea behind the Traverse City State Hospital Oral History Project, a collection of recorded interviews with former hospital employees. This hospital shut down in 1986, so the interviews give us insight into what mental health treatment looked like in the mid-20th century. Stuart McFerrin heads this project, conducted the interviews, and is with us now. Stuart, welcome to Stateside.
Oh, thanks, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
Where did this idea come from? Sit down with former employees of the Traverse City State Hospital and record their memories.
Well, I was contacted by Ann Stanton of Mission Point Press, and she had a list of people that were willing to be interviewed. And I have to say it was a real pleasure talking with these people who had had a very difficult job and worked that job for many years. There had been a book written in 1957 called A Man Against Insanity, and Mission Point Press had reissued it. The sales from that book were able to be put into funding this project.
Okay. All right. So I got it going, and you sat down. And what did you personally hope to get from the recording sessions?
Well, I didn't really know much about the Traverse City State Hospital when I started, so I didn't really know what people would say, but I spent quite a few hours talking with them and hearing their stories, and all their stories were very different, very interesting to me.
So what did you learn?
Well, my first interview was with Peg Wagner. She was 19 years old in 1947 when she first started at the Traverse City State Hospital. And that was just after World War II had ended. And she said she applied at the hospital and started work the very next day. They were really short of help.
Since you're mentioning Peg, let's take a listen to just a little bit of your interview with Peg Wagner, who began working at the hospital, as you say, right after the war in 1947.
It was quite an experience when I first went there, because I was only 19 years old, and I'd never seen anything like that before.
What are some of Peg's memories that stick with you? What did she do there, and what did she see?
Well, she described a woman that swallowed spoons, and it was shocking to her and, frankly, to me to hear that. And they had to put her hands in a muff to try to control her urges to swallow these objects. And over quite a period of time, she swallowed many objects, and she had to have operations. And that was one side. But then the whole other side was, when Peg was working there, the farm operation was in full swing. A lot of the patients or residents at the Traverse City State Hospital worked in various parts of the farm. They had a vegetable ground, a dairy farm. I believe they had a pig operation, a swine farm where they raised pigs. A lot of the residents would work every day on the farm.
Yeah, in fact, in listening to her story, she talks about organizing peeling parties, helping them process those vegetables from the hospital farm. So the Traverse City State Hospital pretty much saw the first two-thirds of the 20th century. And why did it ultimately close in 1986?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, a lot of the residents and patients at the Traverse City State Hospital worked on the farm. And at some point, somebody said, hey, how come they're not getting paid? So at that point, they decided they needed to pay the patients for the work they did on the farm. And that added all kinds of complications in terms of funding the hospital and paying the patients who worked there. Well, one of the guys I interviewed, Art Nickerson, he had talked about the transition between community mental health and the Traverse City State Hospital. And at some point, there was a general nationwide trend to try to get people out of the institutions into the communities.
Yeah. And speaking of Art Nickerson, I know in listening to the interview you did with him, he worked at the hospital along with a lot of members of his family. And he talked about a time when new drugs were becoming available for mental illness.
They did have a trial medicine program. And we would get medications from the pharmacy with just a number on prescribed for a certain patient. And we didn't know if that was an actual trial medication or if it was a bottle of placebos. Most of the patients were committed involuntarily, so if there was any permissions, I would guess they would come from the family to try the medicines.
Stuart McFerrin, what struck you about the way mental health care was delivered in those mid-century years in the hospital? What have you learned?
Well, a lot of the people there were, in a sense, warehoused. There wasn't effective treatment, and they needed to be managed and cared for. There wasn't effective treatments for their mental illness. And there was a number of people that had been admitted to the hospital, you know, maybe decades previously, and they were still there. There was really no diagnosis. There was no really reason they were there other than the fact they had been there for, you know, 20, 25 years. So that was actually a very common result.
Were the employees that you spoke with, do you get the sense, were they happy with their jobs and with their roles?
I think generally, yes. I think it came down to a lot of them had made statements that it was a good place to work, that they were there to help people. And they talked about the culture of each ward. Every ward had a different culture. For example, Bob Maddox told a story about one of the wards that he would visit on occasion. And there was a man on this ward, a patient or a resident, and he was in his 70s, and he was a fiddle player. He had a fiddle, and he loved to play his fiddle, and he would play it all the time. And the people that worked there on the ward regularly would hide his fiddle because they got sick of him playing it. and so when Bob Maddox would go to that ward, he would find the fiddle and give it to the guy right before he left. And then the guy would go through his repertoire and kind of drive all the people that were working on the ward crazy.
Now, how many employees have you interviewed so far?
About 10.
Still looking for more?
Yes. And a lot of people have asked me, well, have you interviewed any patients? And I would love to interview some patients that had stayed at the Traverse City State Hospital.
What happened to the building once the Traverse City State Hospital closed in 1986?
Today, they've renovated a number of the buildings, and there's condos and apartments, and I believe there's an assisted living program in one of the buildings.
So it has been repurposed. The architecture has not been lost. And you can actually find these histories by going to thevillagetc.com. That's thevillagetc.com. And you can surf your way over to the Traverse City State Hospital Oral History Project. Interviews conducted by my guest, Stuart McFerrin. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Cindy.